I got two boys and one girl. Why am I getting a lot of noise and pressure on how I'm supposed to raise these kids? Are you feeling the same pressure?
I am. I have four kids in my house, three boys, one girl, and I feel like, what should we be doing here? What's happening here?
And what's supposed to be doing here? We're going to talk today about masculine and feminine roles and expectations. Since I don't think my opinion's going to change very much, I'm an old man. I'm a curmudgeon by now. I'm 44. Steph, I don't know where you are in your circle of, are you a man or a woman, or how are you supposed to behave? I don't know. You can attest for yourself.
I will attest for myself. But I do think this conversation is important, not just from, we're going to get into parenting and how we think about raising boys, which is, I think, is a very interesting thing to look into right now of like what's happening in that space. But then also it's going to get into relationship dynamics, life dynamics, work dynamics. I mean, I think this topic will influence everything. So I think to ground the conversation, I want to start off with like when we talk about masculine and feminine, there's two different ways to think about it. One is just like, you're a man, I'm a woman. That's masculine, feminine.
It's confusing nowadays. I mean, I felt like this was very, very clear, but nowadays people are going to tell me something different.
People might. Yeah. So that's one way to think about it. But there's another way to think about, which is also like the energetics of that. And that's what I want to kind of touch on, is because I think in the world we're in today, a lot of roles have been switched around, mashed up. You got to be all of these things. And you see it when it's popping up with, I mean, feminism. We've seen that for quite a while now of like girl boss. You know, it's the era of the feminine. It's time for women to lead. That's the future is feminine. It's so polarizing and competitive. And it feels very like no one's going to win. There is no win-win here. So I think you've got that at play. And then you've got men who I think are also bowing down in a way, like not in a masculine way where they're like, oh, yes, okay, now we owe women and we've got to, you know, really play this role to support them. And we've held them down for so long. And so I think these kinds of dynamics of seeing women being more masculine than ever, being told you have to do everything, you need to make all the money, don't let a man out-earn you. You need to also control the house. If you want to have kids, you don't even need a man anymore. Like, just don't have one. Like, you can do everything yourself. So there's that concept. And then you've got men over here who are also engaging in that ideology. And they're kind of switching roles is what I'm seeing. And so when I back it up to like having kids right now and trying to raise boys, it's a little scary looking at what the world is like and trying to protect them from all these ideas that kind of pull them away from the natural instinct of like, where did we start out? How did we start out as humans? What did that look like? Because our animal bodies don't lie. Like if you back up from all the media and projection and things like that, as a woman, most women will probably say, I want a relationship like this. I want a man who can hold me, who has the masculine energetics to hold a container for me. I want to be big and expressive, and I want to be protected. I want to feel safe. I want my kids to feel safe. And I do look for a man to provide a lot of that in me. And then from a man's perspective, he might say, here's what I'm looking for in a woman. And that's what like history has in our bodies. It's ingrained in our bodies. So the media, I feel like, is painting a different picture of like what it means to be feminine and what you know, are entitled to and what you should be getting and demanding and make a man feel scared. And then men are over here being like, okay, like maybe if this is what the world needs now. And so me as a mom, I'm like, I want to get back to the basics. I want to get back to like what is still ingrained in a little boy's body of like, what does it mean to be a boy? What does it mean to be grow into a little man? What kind of initiation rites do you get to do with them? And you pull other men from the community to help them experience something that is just for boys, just for men. And then the same thing for little girls too. Like, what can I do with my stepdaughter to show her what does it mean to be, you know, a little woman? And what does that look like? And what are you excited about? Like, don't let other people project their ideas and thoughts based off, you know, people who felt like they got slighted and are staying in victim consciousness. So this is a big topic. I'll pause there. But that's what I think we should dive into today.
Let's go. All right. First of all these points of view come from differing sources. So we're not set. So I think it's really hard to keep track of. Right. And in reality, how I deal with it is I just don't. I recognize 100% that different people have different points of view. I think generalizing people into buckets that are so big, right? Obviously, half the world's man, half the world's female. And if I'm off by a couple percentage points, I'm sure there's some guy, well, actually, it's 49.7%. Okay, whatever. I'm going to call it 50-50. There's no way we all behave the same, okay? So when I think about it for myself, is like, I do think, so I'll start with my two sons. I do believe in traditional masculine rules. Like, I would assume that my sons would want to be a provider, right? Yeah, typically that is, in the past, it used to be a provider of defense, and now it's like a provider of income. I think it's weird. When I see stay-at-home dads, I do think it's weird. I just can't help it. It's because I'm raised the way I was raised. I don't know. But I'm like, why don't you want to earn an income? But I also can see why a mother who was working would also be like, why can't you help out the household chores? Because I don't believe a woman's job is to take care of the domestics. I mean, ideally, you do it 50-50. I know us fellas, we don't do a good job 50-50. But I like to blame my wife for having higher expectations of what the word clean means, right? To me, it's clean. You know what I mean? Clean. What's clean? Like, that's clean.
Not that.
I would say your kids are going to have some influence and reflection of your personal beliefs. And in my beliefs for my sons, I do try to teach them, like, hey, you're probably, you know, it would be better for you to be a provider to be. And what's interesting is, because I have a daughter, I tried to teach her, I'm not against men, but I don't want her to be dependent. That is a big focus of mine, because my mom used to always say similar things, and it's ingrained in me. And what I mean by that is, I don't believe a daughter, I would not want my daughter to not earn an income. Unfortunately, money is, or fortunately, whatever, it's the currency that we need to be independent as adults. Like, you don't have money, like, it's a problem. You don't have a good way to earn money, it's a problem. So I would not want my daughter to need somebody else. But I'm not saying that she doesn't need men. I'm saying you don't depend. Depending means that you can't do anything for yourself, right? You don't depend on a man. So I do want her to be very independent, but I also want my sons to be independent. So, you know, is that not their role? I have no idea. But it is weird when I hear people try to say, like, oh, you shouldn't try to teach your sons to, you know, want to excel that much in school or fight so hard. And like, why do I want them to compete in sports? Because I want them to do hard shit. I want them to fail. I want them to get up, and I want them to compete. Like, that's too aggressive. What are you talking about?
That piece right there is what I am worried about when I see that culture of, like, what ideologies are being put on boys to not be aggressive. I'm like, it is in boys and men, like, it's their nature to be aggressive, to be the one who, if you need to protect your family and do what it takes, like, that needs to be you. And so it's in there, but then being like, oh, wait, we all need to just do the same thing. Let's just, the whole class gets to act the same and be interested in the same thing. And, you know, boys can, should like these other things too. And, like, to me, that space, I'm like, is taking away what's deeply ingrained, which is, like, I see my three boys, they want to be little protectors. They want little, maybe pocket knives.
They want to smash stuff.
They want to smash things. They want to pick up things and throw it. And, like, and I let them. I'm like, good, do it. You want to pick up a big log and just launch it? And you want to punch a pillow and you want to do things? Like, I'm not going to stop that. I want you to be able to feel what it's like to be a boy. And if that is what's coming naturally to you, even if it's like, oh, man, that feels a little aggressive. Like, what are we doing here? It might not feel natural to me, but who am I to stop that when I'm like, this is what boys and men, like, this is something they should be allowed to explore. And I'm not going to squish them.
There's, like, a huge, I guess, gray area or blurred line, but I don't know why, of when I hear people talk about not raising your boys to be hyper-aggressive, typically they're talking about, like, aggressors that commit crimes, you know, like, whether it's crimes against women, crimes against property, crimes against others. That's a huge difference, right? So you can teach your kids to embrace competitive fight, the desire to possibly, play extremely aggressively, but also recognize the honor code of, like, hey, I'm not actively ever trying to take something from somebody. I am playing a game within its rules. So it's just very different things. And so, like, we've always had, like, think about I mean, it's been forever, right? We've had, for example, the United States is a volunteer nation of soldiers. These are all largely honorable people that have chosen to do this. You know what I mean? Like, we're not trying to, like, take away. Like, so like, that's this blurred line. I think you can have both. Like, you can embrace what you think your kids are interested in, as in addition to, yes, you should put your foot down on, like, this idea of honorability, crime, personal property, whatever I'd like to say what the line is, but other people have different definitions of it. But I truly do believe that you should not hurt anyone else, and you should not take what's not lawfully yours from anybody. And so it's a weird thing, because sometimes I'll read, or because I use Flipboard a lot and different readers, and you'll see this article about how to read, you know, to raise a more sensitive boy. And I'll glance at it, because I'm like, what is this? But in general, I don't think you have to go out of your way to implant an emotion that is not currently present, or to try to force a recognition of something that they don't have to recognize all the time. Like, I think it's stretching it a little bit far. Like, I don't think it's necessary. I think you can embrace everything that your kid is interested in within the realm of what they are currently experiencing. I don't think you need to prepare them for, like, 1,000 different scenarios. This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I agree. I'm like, I think there is something to say about recognizing kids' feelings, whether they're boy or girl. I think that is something that for a long time maybe was not, especially with boys, where it's like, you can't have tears and you can't cry and you can't do these things. So I do think there's something there where, like, as a human, you get to have expressive feelings if you need to, especially when you're young. So I think not suppressing that, but then, like you said, not implanting ideas of, like, I need to make sure you're extra sensitive and that you're the same as, like, my daughter. Like, I got to make sure you guys are the same level when it comes to, like, how caring and this you are and, like, how gentle you are. I'm like, with my kids, I don't want you to be gentle. I don't want you to be that compliant, actually. Like, I want you to just do what you need to do to test the boundaries. And I'm here to protect you. And, you know, like you said, make sure you're not stealing and intentionally hurting people. And I want you to get a little wild as, like, one of my sons. And I want that to be okay.
Yeah. When it comes to my daughter, it's interesting, because I definitely don't, I guess, like, whatever traditional femininity, like, I don't, you know, embrace pink. I don't embrace purples. I don't try to, like, make her wear dresses, although she does love to wear those colors, like, when she was a kid. I didn't stop her either. And that's the thing, is, like, I think there are people are being very unnatural in their decision making. Do you know what I mean? Like, if your daughter is like my daughter and wants to wear a poppy head and sing Trolls all day long and wants you to sing with her, then you should do that. All right? Like, put your guy pride aside. Like, we're going to sing some Trolls. You know what I mean? We're going to sing some Anna Kendrick. We're going to sing some Trolls. We're going to have a good time. And then when she wanted to embrace, like, she started to embrace other things, like more Asian art. And I'm embracing that too, because I don't see anything wrong with what she's into. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, she's into art right now and she likes songs and she's changed this sound of music that she likes. Whatever. I'm embracing all of it. I'm not trying to guide her. You know what I mean? I'm really not. Like, I was just trying to say, like, okay, what are you interested in? The only time I try to stop or guide or put influence in is when I think she's either being super dependent. I don't like that, right? I want independence, and I want that for my sons too. Excessively sensitive. I definitely stop that for both my kids. And also the disrespect of taking property. Or, like, I definitely put my foot down on that. I will not allow them to steal. They have to apologize. You know, because of course kids are going to, of course they're going to test it, right? And I think that's, I take all of my lessons that I impart on my kids based upon what they're already interested in doing already. I don't try to, you know, I'm not really trying to guide them anywhere. I don't know if that sounds weird.
Well, what about when they're younger? Because I do think, I mean, I'm in this stage right now, 4, 5, 6, that I'm like, they are not exposed to things unless I'm exposing them to it, really. So in a way, I guess what I'm guiding my kids to is kind of like, I'll show them something of, like, would you be interested in Taekwondo or whatever? And then I'll let them see a video and be like, okay, that's a yes. And, like, would you be interested in this? And so I do think there's a piece of that where I'm like, I think that influence, though, if you have, let's just say you have a parent who has some traumas in there where they're like, F men, like, my dad wasn't around, I don't trust men. And so then they instill that on their kids of, like, you know, this is what you should be doing instead type of thing. Or maybe it's the other way. But like, I think that's the area where people come in with a strong influence and can maybe be guiding their kids based off of what the media is saying, what, you know, culture is saying, like, this needs to happen. When I'm like, when I look at our culture right now, I don't see success.
I read an article about how adult loneliness is on the rise between it's both men and women. Loneliness is on the rise. I also read this crazy stat about anyone who's followed the money knows that Match Group has laid off a whole bunch of people. Dating apps basically don't work. The amount of men that are on a dating app versus women is like the ocean of men substantially greater than the pools of women. That's also true for Ashley Madison, for all you unfaithfuls out there. Guys are like, oh, who wants to cheat? Like another dude? I don't know. But there's a lot of people doing studies, hypothesis. I don't think anyone ever really can know, because you obviously can't meet everybody and find out what's going on. But it is weird. It is weird that we are having a harder time to connect when, of course, you'd think it'd be easier to connect with each other. And I think you kind of alluded to it, like the way we are taught to like now think about the other sex is something off.
It's competitive. It feels so competitive.
I'll give an example. In the 80s and 90s, if you ask anyone my age, born 1980, okay, like we only had one objective in high school. And you can say it's carnal, you can say it's full of thin, whatever. Guys wanted to be with girls. That's just how it went down, right? And we would do things that we thought would get us girls, right? From the hair to the piercings to the sports, whatever it was, play guitar, I don't care. Every guy had like a thing, you know what I mean? To get a girl of that was typically, it was like the girl, he thought the girls that like, you know, like if you thought the girls that like skateboarders were better looking, you kind of taught yourself how to skateboard. Or if you thought the girl that was a little preppier was better looking and you liked her, you might dress preppier. You know, guys kind of fit their MO a little bit to what the girls were like. But the point was, is there's a lot of chase. Chase creates interactions. So you learned how to like deal with each other, basically talk with each other, possibly reject each other without actually hurting someone's feeling, or not hurting feelings, hurting each other. You know what I mean? Like it was okay to be rejected. Like I remember by the time I was in college, I was like, yo, I've been rejected thousands of times. This ain't shit. I'll talk to anybody. You know what I mean? But like rejection's a part of life. But if you don't have that dynamic, I can see how that quickly leads to loneliness, because you've never actually tried to talk to someone that might be interested in something you're not, or you've tried to find out something that you would otherwise never know. Like you're relying completely on their Tinder profile or whatever to tell you everything you need to know. Like you have to ask questions. You have to create conversation. You have to do more than text. You have to get rejected and be okay with it. And so you have like this wave of, and I'll just speak for the guys, like, when I hear about like, oh, there's no women, I'm like, I don't understand. What do you mean there's no women? Like, you're not talking to you. I don't see you talking to anybody. How do you go meet women? And you're like, oh, I'm on Hinge. I'm like, oh God. Like, why don't you just go do your hobby, whatever your hobby is. Like, let's say your hobby is rock climbing. You hang out at a rock climbing studio. They'd be like, are there girls there? It's like, yeah. You talk to any of them? No. You're not allowed to approach them. I don't want to get called out. Social media, whatever. I don't even know what the reasons are.
See, and that's that energy right there. When I hear that, I'm like, that as a woman does not feel attractive. That timid energy, that like, ooh, I don't want to get turned down. Like, I don't want to approach them. And social media, like that is what I think many men are living in that space, which is like chihuahua energy. And they're
like, chihuahua energy.
It is. And then they're like, why am I not like calling women in? It's like, because that, like, I want to feel held and taken and like, you know, I want to be your prey. Like, come at me. And if you get like, literally, that's what I want to feel. Like, you are literally hunting me and I'm the prey and you're like, not going to stop. Like, you're going to keep coming up. And if you get turned down three times, you're like, you're so confident in the knowing of like, I'm really attracted to you and I want to talk to you. And then, okay, like, I want that. I want to feel like that masculine energy. I want to feel the chase. Yeah. And I think so many men are timid. They've been told that you can't do that.
They also have no practice.
They have no practice. There's not enough experiential practice of like getting out there and just like trying some at-bats and being okay with like, you know, getting turned down. And so that's the dynamic that I feel like is holding people back, because then women feel that and they're like, okay, that's not very hot. Like, that doesn't feel very attractive to me. And then women are over here being like, I don't need that anyways. I'm just going to go do me, like girl boss. And so then that's where I'm like, well, no wonder people aren't finding each other. No wonder people are repelling each other. And I'm not surprised by the stats of loneliness and saying, okay, there's no one out here for me. It's like, well, yeah, you got to try. But then also, like, check in with yourself. Like, what do you think is holding you back as a man, as a woman? What do you think is, you know, repelling men from you? How are you showing up to them? Are you receptive to them? Do they feel like you want to be, you know, engulfed by their masculine energy? Or are you literally like being like, I don't need you and I don't need anything about you. And even when we're together in a relationship, I still don't need you. Like, if that's the energy you're getting off, then what's that going to do for a dynamic in a relationship?
That's like my wife.
She does not repel you like that. No.
So it's interesting, but it's interesting, like the dynamic. So this, we're only talking about like loneliness or like what previous used to be like, I guess, the role, right? Like there was like guys back in the day, right? Guys typically were always required to be the ones that were, let's say, approaching the girls. Now, then it got switched to like, oh, you shouldn't approach them. Like, girls are ginchu, like girls have choice. Like I was like, I feel like girls have always had choice. I get it. Like bad things have happened to girls, and the physical size difference between men and women often leads to, you know, like, look, I get it. Like the victims of sex crimes are almost always girls. I get it. Like, but that doesn't change the fact that we are built largely in across multiple generations of humanity. And this isn't true in the animal kingdom too, where the males court the females. And if you turn that off, or you actively try to turn it off, I think it leads to that male loneliness. So I've told, like,
and female loneliness. I have quite a few people that I see that are like, I can't find any man. I'm like, looking around, I'm like, there's a lot of men looking, and why aren't you attracted to them, and why aren't they attracted to you? Like, what is happening here that there are a lot of great men surrounding us, and for some reason, like, something about it.
Yeah, it is super weird. So when I hear our younger employees talk about this stuff, I literally cannot relate. I don't know what it's like. When the way they describe things, I'm like, this is so foreign to me. I'm just like, no, I have no idea. Right? Like, I remember suggesting that, well, why don't you go talk to her? Oh my God, like, bro, that's like, what are you from the 1900s? I'm like, yes, I am. I am from the 1900s.
When I think about the environment right now, I also wonder, like, what language is doing to this state, like to this relationship state, this parenting state. And like, if you look around, like, how are people talking about their partners? How are people talking about that dynamic? And I mean, even I'll just say, like, you know, I'll audit myself, friends, like, how are you talking about your man right now? How are you talking about your wife? Are you propping them up into the highest vision of what your man is? And you're sending that vision into them, and you're not, you know, degrading and, you know, taking away masculinity by being like, oh, they, like, how are you talking about them? How are you talking about your partners? How are you talking about your friends' partners? And then how are you talking about this dynamic in the world? Because I think that concept too, I mean, I hear so many people talking shit about their partners and then basically doing it to each other and then doing it to the environment. And then, like you said, like, there aren't any good men out there. There aren't any good women out there. Like, I don't see that. And so I think that language piece is really important too. If you, like, stop and see, like, what are you saying about, you know, the opposite sex and or your relationship or, like, any of that? Like, I think language is very powerful. And like I said before, I just feel like right now it's in a very divisive space of, like, there's got to be a winner and a loser, instead of being like, how do we create a win-win where we honor, you know, me as a woman? Here's, like, what most women probably want. I think it's very similar. I mean, when I talk to a lot of my women friends, it's like women want very similar things to be, you know, in a relationship dynamic, like what they're looking for. And I think if men tap back into their, like, more primal instinct, like, what are they looking for? What kind of women are they looking for? And kind of getting back to those basics instead of letting language and media influence what you're supposed to be entitled to and what you now get to have. You know, it's 2024. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. Like,
me and my wife as adults, among the adults that we know, it is interesting that it's more prevalent, I think, and it's harder. I do think it's harder for women. And here's an interesting social dynamic that has always been the case, but it's more prevalent now. So men have often had that provide, like the traditional male role would have been like household provider, right? But when we were cavemen, we were supposed to kill shit and protect shit, right? Kill things and protect things from killing us. As we got older and we got away natural threats, excuse me, as society moved on and natural threats were no longer the problem, the new threats were like outside environment, you know, natural disasters, and we could protect ourselves with homes. And so jobs became like the way to protect your family, earn a great income. Then women entered the workforce. And then, so now what's interesting is like for women who have like, let's say killer careers, they're often faced with this weird concept. And this is a social construct, I think, that is self-inflicted. I really do. Is that all of the women that I know that are super successful, they kind of don't want a guy less successful than them. Like they, so they still have the historical construct of like, well, the man should be on my level, if not greater. If I'm a successful CEO, I shouldn't have to, like, for example, there's a lot of guy teachers probably that meet, I think they check a lot of qualities that people are looking for, but for whatever reason, if you're a guy teacher, like a lot of girls, they don't think you're like, you're a winner. And so this becomes more problematic for very successful women, because what often happens is extremely successful guys, and I'm not saying all of them, but a lot of them kind of, you know, they like having a younger woman, a little more arm candy, right? Because they don't need as much providing for, like they want more of the things that they want. Like, you know, they can look past, like, I think a lot, like that trad wife movement, like there's a rich guy will look past, like, you can't cook, because they're like, I can fill that with, I can outsource the cooking, right? But I can't outsource my arm candy. I can only have one, right? And so the greatest qualities of a high performing or very successful woman often don't line up to very successful men. And I know it sounds crazy, right? But like, that's just my observation of the people I know that are single and older and, like, let's say unwilling to be or wishing something different. Like, that's often like the number one power dynamic that's narrowing the pools. It'd be no different from, it's really no different from tall women who don't want shorter men. Or, you know, if you were a short guy saying like, I don't want to date anyone taller than me, it's like, it's the same problem. Like, you've cut your pools of availability, like, really small. And so I don't know how that changes, but it is self-inflicted. It's a personal belief. I don't know how anyone can get rid of it though.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I think in this space, the power of agreement is what's needed. Agreement with whoever is coming in like a partnership capacity, knowing like, what are the standards and what standards am I holding my partner to? And are they aware of the agreement we're in? Most people are in partnership and they have these expectations on each other. And if you start unraveling them, both sides don't even know that that was there. And they're like, whoa, I didn't even agree to that. And so I think that, to me, like, could clear up a lot of things. If you get in that dynamic and let's say you're a really successful woman and you make a lot of money and all that, and you're calling in your man and you're like, I'm trying to find my man. But then you don't even know what expectations you're putting on that person. Like, he needs to be this, this, and this. Like, you don't even know it. It's just in your head. And you're like having a certain standard versus backing out of that standard and be like, what do I actually want in a partner? And like, is the money thing that important? Like, do I need him to exceed me? Why? And start just questioning the beliefs of like how you're calling someone in or what that looks like. And then when you do find someone, it's like, can we both agree of like, I'm not looking for you to maybe, you don't have to out-earn me. You don't have to do this. Like, I'm actually calling in someone who is living their purpose and they're excited about the space that they're in and they provide for me in this way. Maybe they're able to hold me in this way. They're able to, you know, help me take care of my house in this way or whatever it might be. It's like, these are the things that are really important to me. Maybe quality time, like you've got like a level of focus on me that I can feel and we have it this way. So I think if you get past like the big picture stuff and you get down to like what really matters to me to call in a partner, I think it might be different than the high level thoughts of like, I just need someone who makes more than me and that's just ingrained in me. Like, maybe it's actually not that important, but you're repelling people who could be good matches because you have this thought in your mind that's just baked in there somewhere because you're like, I just need someone better than me, more successful. Like, maybe the dynamic does need to change and people are just letting that influence who they're calling in, which is, you know, drastically reducing the pool of people of options that you can tap into because you have something ingrained in you of like what I am entitled to, which I do think people get what you want. call in who you want. Make sure you're with someone that you want. Like, yes to all that. I'm a yes for that. And like, what are the first principles that you're basing it off of? Of like, who are you actually calling in and what does that look like? Because I think that part most people don't think about until they're in it with someone and they're like, oh, shoot, this one thing really mattered to me. And I pick someone who's literally opposite and that really does matter to me. So yeah, the intentionality piece of relationships could maybe help solve that problem.
When I'm listening to you talk, I just think, you know, to bring it back to like how we're raising our, you know, our daughters and our sons, I just think back to like, we are just individuals. That's it. Like, we are individuals. There are a lot of people that have different opinions about the way everything's done. But like, I would say a lot of the noise of how to raise your kids, your son with whatever traits, you're too masculine, you need more feminine traits. Same thing with your daughter, my girl. I just think it's all noise, you know? And so when I think for myself, I will continue to, because the reality is I have not heard compelling evidence ever that suggests I should change or overly steer the opinions of my children. I'm not seeing it, right? Kids are going to be a reflection of, kids are often either a mirror or the opposite of their kid, of their parents, right? That's, or, the, and then some people like that, I guess the third option is they got some of your traits, whatever, okay? There's only three things they can be. They can't be anything else, right? And so they will eventually choose which ones, which traits they want to model, which ones they want to repel, and of course, other things that they want to bring into their lives. And so when I hear societal pressure, which I wouldn't call societal pressure, societal criticism articles, this is random articles about like, oh, you need to teach your daughter to be fiercely independent and also hate men or whatever. And it's like, there's often a girl boss doesn't need a guy. I don't know if I want to go that far, but I do believe that they should be independent. I do believe that kids should be, you know, I do agree with there is often a criticism with toy companies like, hey, you don't make enough toys for girls in STEM. I actually don't think that's a problem. And here's why, because I am choosing if she wants to do STEM because my kid's in Code Ninjas, she loves it. And so I'm like, I choose that. Well, Code Ninjas are for boys. Who told you that? You know what I mean? I don't need a girl Code Ninjas thing. You know what I mean? I think Code Ninjas for everybody. I don't give a shit. I'm like, oh, it's a ninja. It's violent. I don't care. Like, they're solving problems. Like, I want them to solve problems. And so I don't need society to create like the male and female or the gender neutral version of anything. I don't care. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want my kids to use what's available to them to best their lives the best way possible. And if that means we have to go to the boys section to get a spaceship lunchbox that says NASA, I don't care. I'll be like, I always blame it on that's where most of the customers are. That's what I say. Like, my daughter's like, why? How come only boys get NASA lunchbox? I'd be like, because that's where most of their customers are. It's like, but can I buy it? It's like, yeah, we're going to buy it right now. It's like, these people aren't thinkers. They're not out here to manipulate the genders. This is a lunchbox company that's trying to sell lunchboxes. They don't give a shit, right? You know what I mean? Like, they don't think like, there's no company out there with this higher agenda. We're going to transform boys and girls. They're just going with the flow. And when the flow doesn't go their way, they change their tune right away, right? When Target launched gender-inclusive underwear and people got mad, guess what they did? Oh, let's pull that shit. Let's pull it. Right? Did they have an agenda or were they trying to make money, right? Once they found out they weren't making money, they're like, that's a bad idea. Kill it. And so this idea that there's anyone trying to overly influence you, the only people that can influence your kids is like, yes, you, right? You can influence your kid.
You and the environment. I do think the environment can be important as well. Who are they around? Who are their friends?
You as a parent do have some choice in that regard, right? But eventually you won't. Like, it's like really hard to tell your kid not to hang. And, you know, I remember like my mom, like, concerned, like, all my friends were skaters and no chance of going to college. She wanted me to hang out with different people, but you can't really make someone do that. Not when they get older. When they're younger, for sure, you can definitely have more influence there.
Yeah, I think like up until age 7, that's kind of like my marker of like, put in all I can for allowing them to be themselves. Like, that's why I like what you're saying too. I do the same thing. Like, if you like that, it doesn't matter where it's at. Like, I mean, I think back when I was a kid, I was such a little tomboy and my parents let me pick what I wanted. I loved like playing soccer with the boys and wearing boy clothes and like then got into finance. And I'm like, because I genuinely like that. And it didn't deter me to be like, oh, only boys are this. I'm like, I actually like this, so I'm going to play it. And my parents didn't stop me and say, oh, you need to be more of this. It's like, yeah, sure. That's an interest of yours. Go ahead and go do it. Go ahead and go to this camp that like BMXing that it's all boys and you. Like, who cares? And it was just a who cares mentality. If you like it, go do it. Like, we want to support you in that. And so I think that mentality with kids of like, what's your interest? What do you like? And how do I also, when you're younger, have you in an environment that maybe isn't getting projectile information thrown at you of what you should like and what you should be doing? And I think this concept too, like the way we're talking about it, I think it is easier if parents drone out the noise of like what everyone's telling them to do and then just tap into them and be like, what feels best for me and my kid? And what do they like? And what do they want to do outside of what everyone's telling me they should do? Like, my boy wants to go and he wants to go and throw things, you know, into my backyard. And
I thought, let's find a safe space and let's get after it.
Yeah, he wants to go chop a piece of wood from anger. Great.
I'm like, hey, let me show, make sure you know how to use an axe, because if you hit your own shin, this is a serious problem. But otherwise, yeah, let's go chop some wood. the weird thing is introducing your kids to things that they don't show an interest to, and just, I think it's super foreign. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so out of left field. So you're not talking about, like, for example, you use the example, like, your kid shows an affinity towards maybe martial arts. You're like, hey, would you like to go to Taekwondo class? Maybe they didn't know that it existed. I think that's a lot different than like forcing information down. So like, and I get this is where parents, a lot of parents, typically conservative parents, get super upset is some of like the new, I'm going to call them new, like the new gender books and stuff. Like, they don't want their kids to learn that stuff. But I'll tell you this, I also don't want religion stuff down my kid's face either. Like, this is the way, like, Jesus would sin you. You're committing sins if you did. I don't want these things. I wouldn't be super upset either. In all honesty, I wouldn't be super upset if this was the lesson, because then I would just tell my kids, like, well, this is why my opinion on this. So I don't take it as, like, I'm not trying to control everyone's environment. I do believe heavily that we as parents get to influence our kids. And I like to put it a little different than you. I say, I want to have influence until I cannot. And so like with my older kid, he's getting to the point where like, he's really asserting his independence. He's about to be 16 years old. He's gonna want to do things his way. But my younger kids, they still listen to me. They still think I'm either A, cool, or B, scary. It doesn't matter, but they still listen to me. And so, yeah, I try to influence things, sure.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure my perspective will change as my kids get older and I'm like, oh, now we hit age 8. Okay, this is a little bit different. So I do think it's a process of evolving with your kids too. But yeah, I think getting down to what feels right and what you know is best for your kid and your family and not letting all the noise in, like, probably the best way to parent in these times.
Yeah, I think, and the only thing I'll add, which I would recommend, I don't think anyone has to listen to me, of course, but I think it's okay, especially for your sons, to get rejected. I think they need to know what it feels like. And I think my daughter does too. I think she needs to know what it feels like to be rejected, whether it's for work, whether it's for a job, whether it's to work really hard and submit for the art contest and have it not selected. Hearing the words no is life. And I don't want, and I will never be that parent that's like, well, you need to reconsider or something like that. I mean, unless something's blatantly wrong, like, I just tell my kids to deal with it. But I think rejection is a part of life. I think working towards something is also a part of life. And therefore, the less you are afraid of a rejection, the more willing I think you're willing to work for something. I think that's the biggest lesson that most kids, if I were to say the newer generation of workers, this is probably the number one thing they lack. It really is. They just cannot deal with, for example, we own a company where we work in a field that is very, it's subjective, right? It's like an opinion, right? And a lot of companies are like that. We talked about it, like editorially. Like editorially, if as a company, we have to be able to tell someone it's not good. It needs to be changed, right? And so like, this is not a good field for someone who can't hear those things. So I think that's the number one skill that we have lost or are losing. And so therefore, that's the one thing I hope I can I teach my kids to lose enough to not afraid of losing.
Yep. That's good. I love that. I do think that's a really important skill set to develop. And as parents thinking about like, how do I allow my kid to experience rejection and not protect them from it and from feeling what it feels like to get rejected? Because I look at, if I think about people who are applying when they apply to mission and like one little no and they're like, oh, okay. Like I think about the environment many years ago, decades ago, where it's like, I'm sure our parents did not stop at a no. I'm sure our grandparents didn't stop at a no. It was like, oh, okay, well, it's a no for now, but like, I'm going to come back and try harder to even prove myself. And I'm going to like be a little more aggressive with getting that, you know, that opportunity. And I look at the space now and it's just like, oh, okay, no. Okay, fine. And, like there is no like bouncing back to then try again. Or maybe it also just throws them off course for the whole, you know, rest of their career because of that no. And so I do think the power of no is very supportive with definitely raising our kids and having them feel like what that feels like and how do you move on after that and not let it crush your whole life, you know, and your whole day.
That is the magic. If you can do that for your kids, you will be substantially better off for it, I think, because like, you know, when you're older, your kids' problems, there's not as many problems in your life, right? Like you're like when you're 50, like when I'm 50, the only problems I'll experience are the ones that my kids kind of bring to me. You know what I mean? Like most of the problems that I experience will be my kid can't get to college, can't get a job, can't get whatever. Those will become my problems, but like you won't be in a position to do anything about it. And that's what I think that's the challenging part for a lot of people's stomach. And that's why I think you just said, have them do as many things as they can. Have them be judged. I know people hate that. It's like, have them be judged. Because if you're trying new things and they are judged or competing, they'll lose. It has to. Like, no one goes through life winning everything. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Well, there we have it. We just circled through parenting, relationships, masculine, feminine dynamics, workplace. I feel like we just covered it all in this episode and super interesting.
There you go. Embrace your kids. That's it.
Mic drop. All right, everyone. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.